Second Chronicles, chapter number 20. Let's look in verse number 3. The Bible said, and Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah in Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand there is not power, and in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to stand with thee, or able to withstand thee. Verse number 7, art thou not our God who didst drive out the inhabitants of the land before the people of Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? And they that dwelt therein have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when evil cometh upon as the sword, a judgment or pestilence or famine, we stand before thy house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab, and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when thou came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they rewarded us to come to cast us out of thy possession which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And all of Judah stood before the Lord, notice this, with their little ones and with their wives and with their children. So after they prayed, God being faithful and honoring their faith to pray, he spoke to a prophet. God's Spirit came upon him. And so that prophet came and he gave the instruction what God wanted them to do. And it says in verse number 15, and he said, hearken ye all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of the great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. Behold, they come up to the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Notice this. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them. Here it is again. For the Lord will be with you. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you, God, for the promises. Lord, we thank you for your presence. Lord, we thank you for your power. Lord, I pray, God, that you might speak to us tonight. Lord, that you might show us some things from your word. Lord, it'll help us, Father, as we go through this life. Lord, please help me to preach tonight. Lord, help me to say what you'd have me to. And Lord, go not a step further. And Lord, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What I read pretty much summarizes and gives us an introduction to this message. There was a group of three different groups that were going to come against Judah. They set themselves against God's people and against God's man. And so when Jehoshaphat received the news, the Bible said he became fearful. But let me say this, when we have that fear, and that's a natural thing. We have fear about things. That's really an initial reaction. But when we hold on to that and it stays there in our lives, that's when it becomes wrong, because God's not given us a spirit of fear. But what happened, I believe, is that he had the right fear of God, that he went and prayed, and that cast out that wrong fear that he had. And he prayed and he got the people to pray. And man, you could just preach on the prayer itself. I mean, he started and he didn't rush into prayer. The death of prayer is hurry.
Right.
He started out and he started thinking about who God was and how powerful he was. Then he started rehearsing how God had helped them all through the past. He brought those things up and how he helped them. And then he just brought those things before God. He asked God to help them with this enemy that was coming to attack. And he laid it out there before the Lord. And the Lord responded when he sent his prophet, and the message was, listen, you don't have to fight. The battle's not yours, it's mine. I want you to set yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. This is how the Lord spoke to me. I believe that we know those truths, but I believe that we come short of really understanding and applying them to our Christian life. And I believe because we come short so many times, it's because we get rattled and we have that tendency to want to throw in the towel and to stop, and many times we become defeated. But I believe this is what God was saying to his people. You need to mind your own business. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, they had a certain business. It was a heavy load, a heavy task. And by faith, they brought it before the Lord and asked him to take that load and to bear it. And when they did that, he took that load and it became his business. And it wasn't their business anymore. You know what? Many times, we need to just step back and mind our business and let God do what he wants to do. I jotted down a couple of things, what it looks like when a person doesn't mind their own business. When a person doesn't mind their own business, they give their opinions when nobody asks. They try to give advice when nobody's asked for it. And you know, if we're not careful, we'll try to give the Lord some advice. We'll say, Lord, I don't understand how you're doing this. And Lord, I thought it was going to be this way, and it should be this way. And you know what he's saying? Nobody asked. Mind your business. I'm taking care of this thing. We can, a person that doesn't mind their own business, they ask a lot of personal and private questions. Do you know if when we give something over the Lord and he takes that and he starts working and doing that work, many times that we can go around and ask people's opinion and what we should do, and we'll get on the internet and look at this and look at that, and you know what? Many times that'll mess us up. Let me give you a word of advice. If something health-wise comes up in your life, do not go on the computer and try to find out what it is. I'm talking from experience. It will mess you up. But we can do that. Gossiping and spreading misinformation happens when you don't mind your own business. You know, when we're minding our own business and letting God do his work, then we're not going to go around talking about it anymore. Why? Because that's his business. And he's doing that work. And we need to stay out of it and trust him and let him have his way. This is the message tonight. We need to stay out of God's business. God takes that thing that we give to him and he begins to work, but he gives us some things that we need to do. He gives us some business while he's taking care of the other business. And that's what I want to preach to you tonight. What are we supposed to do? What is our business? Number one, it's our business to set ourselves. Look at what the Bible says in verse number 17. He says, you shall not need to fight in this battle. Look here, set yourselves. That phrase, set yourselves, it means to plant anything as to stay in that place. It means to station oneself. It means to present oneself. And you look at this and you see that many times God's people fall short because they have the desire to see God work and the desire for God to do that thing, but they don't make the preparation that they need to trust Him, to let Him do the work that He desires to do. And the Bible teaches us here that we should set ourselves. And we see this all through the Word of God. It's a preparation, if you will, what we need to do when God starts working and before we see those results and before we see the victory, how we can station ourselves and not be moved all over the place. The Bible gives instruction all through about what this looks like. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 7 that we need to be rooted in Christ. Are you rooted in Christ tonight? So many people are blown back and forth and give up because they don't even know the Lord. We got to make sure that we know Him before we can be rooted and grounded in Him. And then He goes on to say in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 17 that we're to be rooted in His love. Before that, Paul's praying for those at Ephesus that they would be strengthened in their inner man. There's people that are physically strong on the outside that would absolutely blow your mind how much weight they can pick up and process. But yet inside, they're weak and anemic. How does that turn around? It's when we become rooted in the love of God, the love of Christ. We're to be rooted and grounded in faith. We need to believe God is who He says He is and that He'll do what He says He's going to do and leave it right there. The Psalm chapter number 1, and it says in verse number 2 that we're to not sit down and be rooted in places that God does not want us to be rooted, but we're to be rooted in the Word of God. And when we do that, we're like a tree that's rooted by the river. And we get what we need even when bad times and hard times come that we'll still survive and we'll still make it through. Now I want you to notice this before I move on. Notice how they did this. Look at what the Bible says in verse number 18. Boy, I tell you what, I learned some stuff studying this. Verse 18, and Jehoshaphat bowed his head, his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem before the Lord. Look here, worshiping the Lord. Now, when we think about worship, we think about praising and singing and shouting and all those things. But when you look at where the word worship was first used in the Scripture, it was Genesis chapter number 22. And that's when Abraham took Isaac, got up early in the morning, saddled his ass, got all the things in preparation to take his son and put him on the altar to sacrifice unto the Lord. And as they got down at the base of that mountain, verse number 5, I love this verse. He said, I and the lad go yonder to worship. I couldn't understand that for a long time. But you know what true worship looks like? It's obedience. Jehoshaphat and the people, they got down on their face physically, but then something happened right here, and the Bible said, and they got down before the Lord. Something happened spiritually. And when they were down there, they started worshiping. And when that happened, they were obeying God. They were trying to be obedient to the Lord. That's what worship looks like. Worship, it's not only obedience, but it's surrender. When a person goes to the altar, they're being obedient to the Lord because He's told them what He wants them to do, and so they have to obey. And then once they get there, they have to surrender. The Bible says that obedience is better than sacrifice. Do you know what? As I was meditating on this, do you know what? When Abraham was taking his son to put him on the altar, it wasn't just Isaac that was going to die. It was Abraham. Right. He had to die before he could do what God wanted him to do. And that's what it means to be rooted, to be set in, to be settled in. We have to die to ourself and live according to what God would have us to do. And we fail so many times there that we mess up from the very beginning. I heard a story early on, after I was called to preach, and a pastor gave a testimony about how that he had a young family in his church that went down into South America to be missionaries. I can't remember exactly where it was, but they went down there. And years later, he read some kind of periodical that was given out by a mission board, and there was a picture of that family on the front of it. And basically, it was talking about how this couple had gone down, and after so many years, the wife had passed away. And the husband was quoted saying this, "Don't be sorry for us." He said, "Back when I was in Bible college," he said, "I went forward and got down on the altar to surrender my life to the Lord to do whatever it was that He'd have me to do." And he said, "While I was down there, I felt somebody come and brush up against me." And he said, "I looked over and it was my wife." He said, "My wife didn't die down there in South America." He said, "She died on the altar that night." It'd be good if God's people would wake up first thing in the morning and go to their own funerals and die to self. Why? So we can do what God would have us to do. Let me hurry here. Number two, it's our business to stand still. God has a boundary that He has set that He does not want us to go any further. And by the way, it's His boundary. It's not our boundary. He told them that they needed to go to the place that was right there where the battle was supposed to take place. Now, He didn't tell them to stay home. He didn't tell them to stand there and wring their hands and hope and to wait, but He wanted them to step forward by faith and go right to that place, and when they got there, just to stand still. And you see that over and over and over again in God's Word. You think about Exodus chapter number 14. Same thing was mentioned. In verse number 14, Moses turned and told the people, "The Lord shall fight for you and ye shall hold your peace." He told them to fear not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. Listen, His message doesn't change because He doesn't change. But they had to take that step of faith right there to the sea, and when they did, it spread. You think about when they were going to go over into Canaan land. They had the ark, they had the presence of God that they were carrying at first, and as soon as their foot touched the Jordan, it spread apart. Listen, sometimes it's uncomfortable, but He has a place that He wants us to go, and when we get there, He wants us to stand still. He never wants us to go ahead of Him. He never wants us to go right beside Him. If He's going to be beside us, it's because He's going to be beside us and not us. But He wants us to follow Him and stand still. And you know what they did when they stood still? Look what the Bible says. Verse number 20. "And they rose up early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, 'Hear, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established, believe His prophets, and so ye shall prosper.' And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of His holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, 'Praise the Lord, for His mercy endureth forever.'" Now think about this. I've heard this ever since I've been saved, and I believe it. But sometimes I don't understand what necessarily the purpose is. We're supposed to praise God even in the midst of the valley, even in the midst of the storm. And I've heard that, and I believe it, and I know that we should, but have you ever stopped and thought about what the true benefit of that is?
Number one, before they started praising, he gave them two things to point out when they praised God. Number one, His holiness. And number two, His mercy. Pastor pointed this out to me a long time ago. He said there's two groups of people that come to Christ under two different circumstances, but they come to the same place. There's those that fear judgment, and that those that are overcome by the love of Christ. You see both of them there. And listen, if we get before God and we start praising Him, it's got to be balanced. We praise Him for His holiness, but we praise Him for His mercy. And when we do that, listen, that helps us to get a hold of who we're trusting. Well, it's not empty worship. It's not empty praise, but it's purpose. And the purpose was for them to set themselves and to get established and then to praise God so that they could trust Him, that they didn't have to do anything except stand still. That's one of the hardest things we'll ever do as Christians, is to step back and stand still and let God do what He wants to do. And here it is, to mind our own business. But I like this part, and I'm finished. It's our business to see the salvation of the Lord. Hey, if God says it, if God promises it, it's going to come to pass. Look at what it says there in verse number 24. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked into the multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in the abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off themselves more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days gathering the spoil. It was so much. Isn't that the Lord? Do you know something? I passed it over, but I'm going to point it out right here. As soon as they praised the Lord, the Bible said that God went up and put out, what's the word there? It said that when they praised Him for His holiness, in verse number 22, and when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushments. He went out and set traps for the enemy. They had no idea what God was doing. You know what? That's just like the Lord. He wants us to do it by faith, and He wants us to praise Him, and we don't know when, and we don't know where, and we don't know how, but if we do it by faith, listen, it might be the first verse of a song, and we do it by faith with our hearts unto the Lord, and that might be the very moment that He starts doing what it is that He promised He's going to do, and we don't know about it. And friend, we might not know about it until we get to glory. But we know our God. I love this. When we cannot trace His hand, we can trust His heart. We know who He is. We've got to believe who He is, and we've got to put our faith in Him. But you know what? When they saw the salvation of the Lord, it absolutely boggled their mind. They could not figure out how all these different groups had all died and they were all laying there. You want me to tell you something that you probably already know? Listen, when God does something, He does it in such a way that you know that it could be nobody else. And He makes you know that it's Him. That's just how God works. And you know the other way He works? You know, but I'm going to remind you. He works exceeding abundant, more than we could ever ask or think. There was so many riches that it took them 3 days. He could have gave them enough for 1 day or 2 days, but He gave them enough for 3 days. You know what? You know what would be a good thing for us to do? Bring our business before the Lord and give it over to Him. And just turn around and mind our own business and let God take care of it. Pastor, I'm finished.